Pennsylvania's forests are under attack from pests like hemlock woolly adelgid and emerald ash borer, and from invasive plants, including one you might even find in your own front yard. I spoke with some scientists about an all-too-common shrub that's bad news for the health of forests and people, too. It would definitely be an understatement to say that Ryan Utes is not a fan of Japanese barberry.
This is what we call barberry hell. That's going to be all that you see.
Utes is a professor at Chatham University's Falk School of Sustainability, and we're walking through some damp, forested land on the property of their Eden Hall campus north of Pittsburgh. He has some other choice words for the thorny, shoulder-high shrubs all along the tree line. He calls them insidious and alarming. That's because of what's beyond the wall of barberry.
We have a nice population of mature oaks, cherries, and red maples here, but based on our research, everywhere you see barberry, which as you can see right now is pretty much everywhere, there are no young trees underneath it.
Utes and some of his students, like Art Link, have noticed that even a small patch of Japanese barberry can inhibit new generations of native trees.
Barberry grows very thick and very dense, and because of that, it can limit a lot of the resource of sunlight.
But barberry doesn't mind the shade. It's also not popular with deer grazing in woodlands, and it's not easy to get rid of. Japanese barberry was introduced from Asia as an ornamental. It has pretty spoon-shaped red leaves and berries. Seeds from the berries are dropped onto the forest floor or spread by birds. Weedy shoots of barberry can also root themselves into the ground, starting new plants. Young barberry is pulled out easily, but in their study plots, Utes and Link are dealing with more established, stubborn patches like this one, and they're using some barberry-busting tools you can buy at any home improvement store. Utes slices through the barberry stems with hedge trimmers, getting as close to the ground as possible.
See that yellow stem material? That's classic barberry. Bright, bright, bright yellow.
Then Art Link hooks up a propane tank, like the one on your backyard grill, to a small torch.
What I like to do is actually go around and get a 360 burn.
He slowly incinerates the cluster of barberry stems.
Usually I listen to music, and whenever the chorus comes on, I know when 30 seconds is up.
The plant smolders, but Link says he'll have to do it again. Barberry has been known to grow back even after it's been torched. So just how big a problem is barberry in Pennsylvania's forests?
It's quite a large problem, actually.
Kelly Sitch is an ecologist with the Pennsylvania Bureau of Forestry. He says not only does barberry muscle out native tree species, but it also makes an ideal home for mice, and by extension, the deer ticks they host, the ones that carry Lyme disease.
So in areas where barberry remains uncontrolled, researchers have found that the incidence of ticks per acre that are infected with Lyme disease is actually much higher than in areas where it's being controlled or where it's not present.
Sitch says each year, the state's foresters and biologists prioritize sections of land that are inundated with invasive species. And sometimes barberry makes it to the top of that list. They can use a combination of pulling it out mechanically if it doesn't disturb the soil too much, or scatter seeds, or apply herbicides to keep barberry from spreading. But Sitch agrees with Ryan Utes from Chatham when it comes to the best way to keep Japanese barberry out of Pennsylvania's forests.
Please don't buy barberry.
The Japanese variety, anyway. Although it's been banned in some states, many nurseries and big box stores still sell it for landscaping in Pennsylvania. Utes says there are other non-invasive species of barberry available, and he's a lot less prickly about those. You might want to pay close attention for your fall plantings. There's more at AlleghenyFront.org.